Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to OVW Overview, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you coverage and analysis of Ohio Valley Wrestling and discussions with some of the stars themselves. And now the GWH Radio Network presents OVW Overview.
Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. February 12th, 2012 from a chilly Louisville, Kentucky. This is episode number 5 of OVW Overview right here on the GWH Radio Network, of course brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. And I am Trent Van Dries, and like I said, OVW Overview back on the air again. This is the once-a-month podcast where we take a look at all things Ohio Valley Wrestling related, which of course is the developmental system right now for TNA wrestling. And boy, once again, it's been quite a month for OVW, or maybe we should call this Muskegee Valley Wrestling after this past month. It's been a while, a lot of Muskegee, a lot of Muskegee. We've seen Marcus Anthony get signed to the WWE this month at OVW. We've seen the return already of Michael Hayes. Rob Terry has made his debut in OVW in the past month. All kinds of things going on. We're going to talk about it all. We've got a really good show today, too. Our special guest today will be none other than the champ himself, Muskegee family member, no less, the champion, Rudy Switchblade, will be here today. And also later on in this program, I believe we will be joined by Jamin Olivencia at some point today, who will talk about his run in the elaborate entrance of Chad Deedy play that was just recently completed here in Louisville. And this time, I guess I'll introduce my rusty, trusty co-host out of Norcross, Georgia, talking about Mr. Scary Larry Griffin. How you doing, Larry?
Doing well. You know, of course, our show is brought to you by Georgia Wrestling History. We had a little Georgia Wrestling History last night here in Georgia with the second Ted Allen Memorial, and a lot of interesting legends there. Joyce Grable, Bill Dundee, Robert Gibson, Thunderbolt Patterson, Bully Nick Busick. It was an interesting evening, but otherwise I'm doing fine.
Sounds good. Look forward to a report coming on that show. Of course, Bill Dundee has been to OVW twice in the past month or so, you know, selling copies of his book. So I got to see him a couple of times. Always good to see Bill Dundee. And I don't know, you got to smart me up, Larry. Is our other co-host on the line yet, or should we just forge on here?
He indeed.
Don't worry. Muhammad Ali Baez is here proudly representing the Muskegee family.
Oh, bet you are, because... Go ahead.
Yes. Finally, Trent, there is balance again in the universe. Finally, there is order that has been restored in the locker room. And finally, I'm proud to go to work every Wednesday at the Ohio Valley Wrestling television tapings. And I am proud to go on the road with Ohio Valley Wrestling. Most recently, on Preston Highway.
So what is this big event that you became Muskegee property, or what was your big epiphany here?
Well, I mean, are you kidding me, Trent? What is my big epiphany? Look, man, I've been around this locker room for a long time, okay? I have experienced the worst of the worst when it comes to Danny Davis's blatant bias and just, you know, disrespectful people in general. I mean, and lately it seems like people are just coming out of the woodwork. I mean, who's this Joe Coleman guy? You know what I mean? Dylan Bostic coming up out of nowhere. Who are these guys? They don't know what's going on. They don't know what time it is. And a guy like Christian Mascagni, he has the courage. He has the courage to put that sheriff's badge on and to go to work and ensure the safety of competitors like myself and competitors like our guest today, the well-traveled Rudy Switchblade.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ali, I've got a lot more to say to you, but I'm going to save that for just a little bit later because I know that our guest is on the line, and since you just gave such a nice introduction, I'll go ahead and finish it. Like we said, the Ohio Valley heavyweight champion, the esteemed Mr. Rudy Switchblade. How you doing, Rudy?
I'm doing well. I'm also the crowning jewel of the Mascagni family.
Ooh.
No offense to Ali.
Wow. You know what? Larry, you know, as we talked about off-air with Mr. Switchblade, Mr. Switchblade is here today by request. We've had several requests to get Switchblade on the show, and one of those requests, Larry, was from you, you pandering fanboy. So you know what, Larry? I'm going to give you the first crack at Rudy here, being the kind of guy I am.
Well, thank you. I guess
sure.
What the thing that really I've enjoyed you for a long time, but as a wrestler, but the thing that really got me interested was your feud with Jamin Olivencia. And what motivated you? What did you find inside of you to become as dark and as evil as you did during that feud?
Well, what motivated me really was the way I was treated. I felt I had the short end of the stick in that feud, if you were to call it that. Me and Jamin were both two of the top baby faces in OVW, and I felt that I got the short end of the stick from a business standpoint, and they were misleading and misrepresenting me to the people to the fans of OVW. So I'm not going to sit by and let that happen. So I pleaded my case to the fans, and when I felt I wasn't being listened to, I believe actions speak louder than words. So I just felt I did what was necessary.
But I mean, the way you did it, I mean, I'd always seen you as a fan favorite. I remember seeing, you know, your work in Nashville, and when I'd seen you in OVW, you seemed like you were always in the fan favorite role. And I just didn't expect that you had that inside of you to the degree that it came out. I mean.
Well, I've always, you know, it's something that comes when you're, it was a lot of frustration, pent up aggression. You know, Jamin Olivencia is an awesome competitor. I'll give him that. But I feel I was the one that was standing out, and the OVW bigwigs didn't like that. So they forced me into a role that I didn't want to be in. So I took my message to the people and let them decide. And when I felt that I wasn't being heard, then I, like I said, I needed to take actions into my own hands. And I needed to make an example out of Jamin Olivencia.
Mm.
You know, as wrestlers go, you're, you know, not one of the largest people around, but yet it strikes me that you carry yourself as a much larger person than you physically really are. How do you pull that off?
Mm. Well, I think has a lot to do with my upbringing in the wrestling industry and the places I've been and the things that I've done. I don't want my confidence to be mistaken for cockiness. I'm just confident in everything that I do in that ring. So I go in there and I know that the guy I'm going in there can't keep up with me. Then of course I'm going to walk around like I'm the biggest dog in the yard, and I have the belt to prove it.
Well, take us back in time a little bit to your early days in wrestling. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got started and so forth.
Well, I started in 1998 out of San Bernardino, California. There was a wrestling school at the time run by Jesse Hernandez and Bill Anderson. They were old-time, I guess you would say, enhancement talent for WWF then. And they had a school of hard knocks. And I was lucky enough to come up. I mean, I really don't want to name drop, but the guys that were in my class and the teachers at the time are some of the top talent today. When I first entered the building, the trainers at the time were Christopher Daniels. They had then Rico Constantino, you know, along with Bill and Jesse. So I already had some guys who already had some recognition within the business to kind of guide me. After that, I ended up moving on to the now defunct Inoki Dojo, where I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with, at the time, Brian Danielson and Samoa Joe were the trainers there. And again, you know, guys who had world experience teaching, showing me the ropes, you know, helped me out tremendously.
What brought you from the West Coast over to, you know, the Louisville area or the South area?
Well, originally I moved from the West Coast to the East Coast, and I had a very short stint in ROH. I had just wrestled the 2005, the ECWA Super 8. So I had a little name recognition going for me. So then I decided to move out to Philadelphia, and I wrestled for ROH for a brief stint. But then I realized that if I really wanted to make it anywhere, that I did need to move to Louisville and wrestle for Ohio Valley Wrestling. At the time was the developmental for WWE. So I felt if I was going to get any recognition, I needed to move here and make a name for myself here. And so that's how I ended up where I am today.
Trent, you want to pick up the story at this point?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and drop names. Everybody doesn't know, Billy Anderson trained the Ultimate Warrior. He trained Sting. He trained Luis Piccoli, cheerleader Melissa. I could go on, couldn't I, Rudy? I mean, you're talking about guys were really great trainers out there in California. And
yes.
Did you actually get the chance to meet Antonio Inoki or Simon Inoki?
Yes. Actually, I had some – he would come in from time to time and actually run classes with us, Mr. Inoki would. And it was like the Japanese equivalent of a Hulk Hogan meeting him, you know.
Yes.
It was an honor to meet him in person and to actually get in the ring and roll around with him. So that was an awesome experience.
And not many people can say that. What is he like? I just have to ask. What is Antonio Inoki like?
Very
in
intense.
Like that. Yeah.
He's very serious about his business and his style. Man of short words, and I don't know if it was a language barrier, but whenever we would get in the ring with him, when he talked, you listened, just the way he carried himself, and I use a lot of how he carried himself in the way I do with myself. He has a presence about him if you've never met him in person.
He's definitely got a huge presence. The only time I've ever seen him, my God, what a legend! And that's, like I said, none of you guys can say that. Now, did Raul Amada come out of that same class with you in San Bernardino?
He didn't come out of the same class. He was actually in the first time I met Raul Amada. He was in UPW with Rick Bassman and the likes that came out of there, John Cena and Samoa Joe was there for a little bit too, and I. Heidenreich, Nathan Jones, and, you know, all the likes that came out of there. I met him there first, but then he ended up moving on to a local Lucha Libre promotion, World Power Wrestling out of Anaheim, California. And that's where we really met and became friends.
Who came up with the name Rudy Switchblade, and how did that come about?
Well, the way that went was when I first got here, I didn't know any. Well, I mean that's not true. When I first got here, I did know quite a few people. But when we were really getting underway with the DCW, the now defunct DCW, they were looking for characters, and because me and Raul were friends, we got paired up as a team. And he was already in a team with Lowrider or Anarchia
yeah.
as the Los Locos, and they wanted to make me the third Loco. And my name at the time on the Indies was Eric Matlock. So they, you know, Eric Matlock doesn't sound very Latin thug, I guess.
Right.
So they came up with Rudy Loco. So then my name was Rudy Loco, and they wanted to give me a nickname, so I decided to be Switchblade. And at the time, my name was Rudy Switchblade Loco, and it was too long for the banner on television, so it just
yeah.
got shortened to Rudy Switchblade.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess they could have called you Eric Estrada. That's already taken. Never mind. So, hey, let me ask you this: how does the training contrast and compare? What are the differences between like the Hernandez Anderson training compared to the Inoki Dojo training compared to the training at OVW? How are they the same and how do they differ with the three?
Okay. When I started with EWF, Bill Anderson and Jesse Hernandez, it was, for lack of a better word, it was basic. I learned how to bump there, and they had very good mechanical drills, but really, that's all they had really yet taught me. I guess they were a little lacking in psychology at the time, or at least I didn't understand it then. When I got to the Inoki Dojo, it's more of the fighting spirit style, I guess you'd say, the Tokan fighting spirit. So we really learned how to become fighters. We had class 7 days a week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday were pro wrestling. Tuesdays were kickboxing, and Thursdays were jiu-jitsu. And they really wanted us to focus on the actual fighting style because they wanted us to go in there and know how to take care of ourselves if something had happened to where we needed to take care of ourselves and to make it look more legitimate, like the Japanese style. And then when I got to OVW, this is where I really understood how to work versus how to wrestle. I understood more character because I had, you know, I've been wrestling for so long, but it didn't really click until I got here. So I tell a lot of these guys that had started in OVW that I feel that they have surpassed me in a way because I've been wrestling for a long time, but getting here, I was new to the business side of pro wrestling and the actual working side. So I felt when I first got here, I didn't know what I was doing. And actually, there's a funny story. When I first got here, I think the guy's name is Brian Alvarez, who does I don't want to name drop another guy's show. I don't know if that's a problem with you.
That's
fine. The very first DCW, he wrote a review of the show, and it was me and Raul LaMotta versus Damian Adams and Jamin Olivencia. And they wrote about the match, and they said, you know, Jamin was good, Damian Adams was good, Raul LaMotta was good, but Rudy looked green. And that made me laugh because I had been around for so long, but I didn't understand what they were looking for here. So I admit, when I had that first match here, I felt like I was lost. But, you know, I think I caught on pretty quick once I kind of figured out what was going on.
And you can mention Brian Alvarez. Actually, the last month on the show here, Rudy, we had Dave Meltzer was our guest here, so we can mention any fight you want to mention.
Oh, okay, okay. I don't know if it's like a Coke and Pepsi thing or...
Yeah, and I understand too that you had experience wrestling in Mexico. Where did you wrestle there? What promotion and what was that like?
Well, I wrestled in Tijuana, Mexico.
Okay, just
you know, I mean, there was a couple of indie, like I guess they're equivalent to indie shows out here.
Yeah.
Because I would do shows out in San Diego, and then it's right over the border, so we would do them. I can't remember the name to be honest, but I did have a meeting with I can't think of his name, the gentleman who had passed, Pena. I did have a meeting with Pena, and we were going to do almost like a similar angle with Art Barr and Eddie Guerrero with
oh wow
the Americans gimmick, and it just never panned out. I mean, that's the furthest I really got in Mexico. But I would wrestle down there maybe, I don't know, once or twice a month, you know, just doing their little indie shows.
Now, are you able to do straight-up lucha if that's called upon? Can you do that?
I can. I mean, and if you watch some of my earlier stuff in OVW, I did do a lot of it, but I had to kind of learn how to work it into their style of wrestling. I mean, I can do lucha. Well, hold on, let me take that back. I don't know if I still can do lucha. It's been a while, but I mean, I still know how to do. I mean, I know the format of the match, basically.
Doing lucha is just like riding a low rider bicycle. Once you do it once, you forget.
Right.
Now, at what point did you come to a team with Johnny Punch and do the Knuckles and Knives team? How'd that come about?
Well, Johnny Punch is a unique character if you've never really met him in person. But I always liked the way he carried himself in the business, and or actually in the ring. And I felt we had a lot of similar interests outside of the ring, like, you know, same music and same tastes and whatnot. So I just felt that we would work well together, because at the time I was doing more of a greaser rockabilly gimmick. And
yeah.
He was doing the hard rock, you know, punk gimmick or whatever you want to call it he was doing. So I just felt that we had similar style, or similar looks, I should say. And I just wanted to do something different, because I really do enjoy tag team wrestling. It's just, you know, it's competitive, and it doesn't really, you know, there's not really a market for it on big time. So, you know,
yeah.
It is what it is. But I really enjoy doing tag team wrestling. So we got together and, you know, decided that that's what we were going to do. And then he had already done a gimmick before me with another wrestler, Pat Buck, and they were doing like a rock and roll gimmick then. So he threw that into the hat, and then that's when we started doing like the rock and roll band member gimmick. And if you said you saw it in Nashville, that's where we were really popular with it, out in Nashville.
Yeah, go ahead and give us some of your memories of Nashville working, because I still have the Mid-Southern Wrestling Message Board, so people from Nashville will listen to the show. And I remember you worked NWA Main Event, and you worked for the Stadium Inn, I think so, for Tony Falk. Of course, I was Tony Falk's neighbor for years, Rudy, so I could say, tell Rudy Switchblade that my son, LC, would like to go up there and be evaluated by Rip Rogers. Because
oh,
he needs
man.
To buy Daddy a his house.
Yeah.
So give us some Nashville memories, Rudy.
Tell you some Nashville memories?
What do you do for Nashville?
I love the Stadium Inn, just for the atmosphere. So, like, if you've never been there, it's like you have to go there at least once and check it out.
Yeah.
From the signs on the door, I don't remember it word for word, but it's something of basically telling pimps and hoes to not sell drugs there, to keep going down the street or something. But, and then just the building, the low ceilings, the low ring, you know, the dim lighting. But all that aside, I think when we got there, it was like a perfect timing, because I guess a group of hipster rocker kids decided to just check it out one night. And then we happened to be wrestling on the card, and they just fell in love with us. And then the energy in the building was awesome. So that made us want to keep coming back, and then the crowds kept getting bigger and bigger. I mean, it was fun. It was fun wrestling there. I enjoyed wrestling there.
Yeah, we enjoyed having you. It was fun watching you. I'll pass back to you, Larry, for a minute, but then I've got more from Mr. Switchblade. I'm gonna turn on the mean when I come back.
You mentioned the Stadium Inn, and I caught some of those tapes from there, and those were wonderful in the sense, in the heat in the building was just great. It was great fun to watch it, and I can imagine it must have been fun to perform there just being the way it was.
Right.
What else would you say your high points and low points have been of your career?
Well, my high points, I guess, obviously, is being the OVW champion. I mean, if you look at the people who've held that belt before me, I mean, it's an honor to hold that belt. I mean, just the names that have went on to go on to do great things. Also, being able to do the Super 8 at the time when, you know, it's still a notable tournament, but it's kind of lost its luster, I guess, over the years. But, you know, to be a part of that, that gave me a little more notoriety and a little more name recognition. I don't know, wrestling, being able to wrestle around the world has been interesting. I mean, I've gotten to go over to Japan and Korea, and, you know, I've wrestled in small islands like Kwajalein and Johnston. I don't think you've ever heard of those. I don't think most people have. Those have been really, really cool things. And also, I'm sure Ali has already talked about it, about going to Australia last year.
Yes.
That was an amazing experience. That's a whole nother world out there. As far as low points, you know, I don't want to say I haven't had any low points. There's times, because I have been doing this so long, that sometimes I don't want to say I get burnt out, but I slow down, and then I don't want to say I don't try as hard, but I'm not as hungry as I should be. And then I have to reevaluate and remember what I'm doing this for and why I'm actually in Louisville, Kentucky. And then I just start pushing forward. But off the top of my head, I can't really think of any low points. I've been lucky enough, knock on wood, that I've haven't had any serious injuries to keep me out of the business or anything.
Those islands you mentioned, where the heck are those? Hello? Hello? Trent, are you there? Rudy, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, the line, we just went dead there for a second. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Those islands you mentioned,
right.
Where the heck are those?
They're in between Japan and Hawaii along that path. I mean, they're very small. But if I remember correctly, Johnston Island was only a quarter mile big. Like, you can look to your left and look to your right, and you'd see water on both sides. So, I mean, that's how small it was.
I mean, were there many people at these shows?
Yeah. I mean, that show in particular was for like a U.S. I want to say USO show type thing, where they wrestle for troops on the island. But the islanders there, I mean, there was probably somewhere roughly around 2,000 people, I think. I mean, so not big, but the crowds were big. I guess they didn't have no other choice to see us, because they could turn around and still see us.
Trent, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Our signal went down there for a minute. We lost everybody, so I'm gonna toss it back to you.
I felt like I was on Gilligan's Island for a minute there. You know?
Yeah.
I was lost on the islands. Well, you know, Rudy, I got to say, you know, like your beef has been that for years you gave everything to OVW, helped everyone that you could help, but when it came time that you needed help, no help was available. Would that be a fairly accurate statement?
Yeah, I'll say that's accurate.
Okay, you know, but, I mean, isn't your stablemate Ali responsible for a lot of those problems? I mean, Ali had your wrestling license revoked. Ali had you in his house cleaning up after his stupid cat. I mean, doesn't all your problems almost exclusively actually go back to our esteemed co-host here, Muhammad Ali Baez, when you really think about it?
Well, yeah, and I'd like to make it clear, me and Ali aren't best buddies or anything. We're associates. I was just making a smart business choice on my end. I wasn't getting the respect that I felt I needed, or I was being overlooked, and Christian Mascagni was there to actually help me get into a position to actually capture the heavyweight title. Ali, like myself, I don't want to speak for him, but I'm sure that like he understood that this was an opportunity. I'm well aware of mine and Ali's past, but I also know the benefits of having him on my side because I know what he's capable of.
Ali, you have any comment to that? Is Ali there?
Let him speak.
We might have lost. Ali, is that you? I'm sorry. We may have lost him, too. Everything went down there for a second. Let me see if I can get him back.
Okay.
Ali, are you there?
I hope I didn't hurt his feelings.
You might have sent him off on his magic carpet, Rudy. I don't know. Ali?
He's gone.
Okay. I play an unbelievable Persian anyway.
Yeah, he's not.
Hey, we do have a caller on the line though. Would you like to take a call, Rudy?
Sure.
Area code 716. You're on OVW Overview. Oh, technical malfunctions. I think we have Mr. Baez back. Let's see if this is him.
Am I back?
You're back.
Okay. I hate to interrupt anybody, but I heard everything, and apparently you guys couldn't hear me. But I'm first off shocked. I am shocked and appalled to hear that Rudy Switchblade feels that we are only business associates. Come on, man. We've been through thick and thin together for years, and you're going to say that we are only business associates. First off, that hurts, but we'll talk about that later. More importantly, I definitely resent Trent's insinuation that all of your misfortunes, Rudy, came from me. Yeah, we had our disagreement last year. Wah, wah. It happened. But then both of us moved on. So I don't understand why Trent's bringing this up. The fact of the matter was, Rudy, you made a bet. You lost that bet. You owed me money. I gave you a chance to repay it, and you cleaned up my beautiful cat Toby's litter. Okay? So that was fair. Whether you were cutting my lawn, whether you were, you know, washing my dishes, no matter what you were doing, you were repaying a debt that you legitimately owed me. That's any kind of business arrangement would do that. And plus, you had the benefit of working with Mr. B. And you know that in and of itself was worth every second. So with that said, exactly. So with that said, I am just going to leave that there. And I had to hang up and call back, so I may have missed more. But that's my comments there, Trent. I don't appreciate you fanning the flames at all.
Well, the reason
I will say this: with Mr. B on my side, I did learn how to carry a beaten sign. I knew how to carry a sign, and the title belt over my head. And if you notice, I do that a lot with the current title that I hold, and I can thank Mr. B for that.
So it was like a workout of sorts. Right? It got you in shape to hold the belt over your head, so there was benefits
right.
to it. So what are the benefits of cleaning up after a sloppy cat?
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
What are the benefits of cleaning up after a stupid cat?
I don't know. I'm still working out those details. I don't really have
okay.
an answer for you on that.
The only reason I brought it up, Ali, I just thought it was ironic that you guys were now in the same stable. That was the reason I brought it up. You know, but this man was your slave for a time, Ali. I mean, we can't just poo-poo that.
Oh, okay. And corporate America doesn't do worse to people who are foolish enough to ring up credit card debt. Look, Rudy and I buried the hatchet on this a long time ago. He paid me back for what he owed me, and then the problem was dropped. And now, like Rudy said, He recognized an opportunity with Christian Mascagni. I recognize an opportunity with Christian Mascagni because just like Rudy, I've given myself to this company for years, and I've been mistreated by high-level management and ownership, and I have been racially stereotyped, and I have gone through thick and thin, unfortunately. So Christian Mascagni offered both of us a lifeline, similar situations. We both took it.
Well, Ali, I just must say that of the two, Rudy Switchblade is a champion, and so far, your association with Mascagni looks like the worst decision of the year.
Okay, well, first off, number one, you got to put yourself in my shoes of making that decision, okay? I've got a guy with one leg who's coming after me week after week. He's jumping me everywhere I go. He's attacking me at the gym. He knows everywhere I go, and he's making my life hell. And this goes on for 6-7 months. Nobody
right.
else in the locker room has my back. Nobody else will help me. I am the proverbial pariah. Nobody whatsoever was helping me out or had my interests at heart. So, Christian Mascagni offered that lifeline when I felt like I needed it in my back pocket because, again, it was a cage match. There are no rules, so I did not cheat. I was just smarter. I used that to my advantage, and that's why I'm still on the current active roster, and Michael Hayes is where he belongs, and that's cleaning up after the fans and serving them hot dogs loaded with partially hydrogenated oils and other saturated fats that they love to eat up while they watch real athletes like myself and Rudy Switchblade do what we do, and they pay their money to see it because they should be paying their money to see it, and the only way this relationship between Danny Davis and Michael Hayes is going to work out is if Michael Hayes is paying admission in order to sell those hot dogs.
But the fact of the matter is, you came off this huge high, you beat Hayes at a cage, you haven't done anything since, and now Hayes is back terrorizing you. That's all I can say.
No,
and the reason,
I beg to differ because Michael Hayes is preventing me from doing anything because he's still around. He is deceitful. He went behind his word. He's back in the building. He's costing me more opportunities now than when I was with, working with him and for 6 months. I mean, come on. Give me a break. I don't have a chance to go after these things, Trent, because I'm constantly doing stuff with Michael Hayes, and he just won't go away. And by the way, Trent, I just want you to know that I'm still the reigning DCW champion. Just because the promotion folded doesn't mean I lost my envelope. Thank you very much.
And maybe after all this is all said and done, maybe you can get Michael Hayes to clean your cat box now.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a good idea. I agree.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Ali, I'm going to make a prediction that you don't need to worry because I'm going to make a prediction that Mr. Hayes will be back in the ring, probably facing you. And the reason I say that, it's because just what you said, businessman, Dan Davis is a businessman, Michael Hayes sells tickets, they're going to find some way to make you crazy enough, you know, to agree to let him back in the ring. That's my prediction.
Well, my prediction,
if Danny Davis
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, if Danny Davis was such a good businessman, he would stop all the infighting and just give all the power to Christian Mascagni and get rid of Trailer Park Trash. Instead, we have this
infighting. What more
Thank
can Mascagni do?
Make it fair and balanced is what he can do.
Oh, my God. Well, let me ask you something, Rudy. Now, you are the heavyweight champion. You deserve respect. Your reign is over 100 days now. But if we face facts here, this has been a fairly undistinguished title reign. Would you agree with that? I mean, you've had some defenses, but not that many. No sustained challengers. And you come to rely on interference. I don't know that I can call this really a sparkling title reign.
Well, let's look at the facts here. Who's there
okay.
left to beat? Who's there left to beat? I've beaten Mike Mondo so bad that he jumped ship to another company. I almost broke Jamin Olivencia's neck that he decided to take up acting. Jason Wayne is a flash in the pan. He couldn't get the job done.
Whew.
You know, I'm just waiting. It's not so much that it's on me. I'm waiting for somebody to step up. So until that day happens, maybe I should just hold on to this belt until, I don't know, I decided to do something else, and that which won't be for a long time.
And, you know, it seems like, Rudy, that you've adopted a maybe a little different in-ring style as champion, a little more dark, brooding, scratching guys on the back. It seems like you've kind of, you know, as a good guy, and even against Jamin, you know, when you were, you know, turning darker, you had very, very flashy in-ring style, and now you're still doing the frog splash and some stuff, you know, but your style has changed. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, because I became more of a smarter wrestler. Maybe I didn't articulate that smart, but I'm becoming a more well-rounded wrestler. I'm doing what needs to be done. You know, when I did do those flashy moves, sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't, and it didn't work in my benefit when they didn't. So I'm just being more cautious in the ring. That's how I see it.
More cautious.
Crashing them in the back,
okay, well,
I'm just getting them to wake up.
Yeah, well, you know, and you've, speaking of wake up, you know, the wake up call thing, how did that come about?
To kind of go back to what I was talking about earlier is, I felt that the feud between Jamin Olivencia and myself was very one-sided in as far as who they wanted, as in OVW, wanted the fans to like. And it would give Jamin Olivencia all the opportunities in the world to speak his mind and plead his case while I got nothing. So I decided to take matters into my own hand and make my own videos and messages and put them up online and let the fans decide. Look and hear my side of the story.
And Rudy, those videos, Rudy, were fantastic. They were great. But let me just say, as a fan sitting in the stands, Rudy, that the fans did not want to hate you, Rudy. As a matter of fact, even when you went bad, people could say you're bad. You still got a good reaction. It probably wasn't until you injured Mondo and dropped Jamin on his head that the fans really turned on you. The fans did not want to desert you, Rudy.
Well, tell that to the ones that were scratching my car with their keys and leaving me hateful messages on my Facebook wall and whatnot. You know, so that's how I see it. When fans are telling me that they hate me and they don't want to see me anymore, you know, I take it as a sign that they no longer like me.
And another guy, Rudy, you've had a feud with, and I believe you're going to be facing again, is Randy Terez. What's your opinion of Randy Terez?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, can you hear?
Okay. Randy Terez is a phenomenal talent, but he's not Rudy Switchblade. You know, we had our issues in the past with the love of his life, who obviously didn't love him that much, because if she did, she wouldn't have done what she did with me. And, you know, it wasn't by my choice. She came on to me. So that's what brought him out here, because he had a lover's quarrel, and he felt he needed to extract vengeance on me. And that didn't work out for him. Then I went on to get to the title. And then all of a sudden, he decides that him and Jamin Olivencia are best buddies, and that he needs to make a point by beating me. And then again, he couldn't get the job done. So Randy Terez is a great wrestler, but he's not OVW heavyweight champion like me.
Now, I'm curious about this woman when Terez first came in. Describe this woman that you guys called her. This must have been quite a babe.
You know, it was sometime in Texas. I don't even, you know, it was a blur. She came and went in my mind. Obviously, she meant more to him. It's not like I'm paying her bills or anything. So, you know, I don't know, dark hair. I don't even remember the woman. I didn't really know Randy Terez until he came up to me and said that, like, I slept with his woman. And that I
can
knew
I interrupt
that he
for
her.
One second? I want to interrupt for one second and say, look, this is why Rudy Switchblade is successful and a guy like Randy Terez is not. It's because Rudy's a star. He's an athlete. He slept with some woman years ago, doesn't even remember her name or her face, and Randy Terez is going to make a cross-country trek to come find him and then get his ass beat, basically? Get real. That's why Rudy supports Christian Miscagny, just like me. Anyway, continue.
Couldn't say it better myself.
Well, I remember Rudy beating you. I mean, Randy beating you in the Barrio Brawl, if I recall correctly. But you know, that was a while back. But as champion, you've retained against him. So,
right, because we weren't wrestling in the Barrio. We were in a wrestling match.
And also in 2010, you had quite an intense feud against Paradise. What are your memories of that?
Ugh. A lot of ass grabbing. Paradise is a character. I mean, he's a wrestler. He's a good wrestler. But I don't know if I can get by on those antics of his. Apparently, he had a man crush on me, which I don't blame him, but he decided to take it a little further and try and come after me and try to make it more than just a man crush. I actually helped. I guess at the time he somehow worked his way into becoming women's champion, and he was abusing the women's division. And so I got a call from a friend of mine, Taryn Shea, who said she needed help taking care of the situation. So she called me in. I did her the favor of kicking his butt and handing her the title.
Hmm. Oh, and that reminds me of something. I had an email question. What has happened to, this is for Ali or Rudy or whoever, what has happened to Benny Bray and Taryn Shea? Did they elope?
I'll let Ali take that one.
Okay.
All I know is if that happened and they produce an offspring, imagine the caliber of talent in that offspring.
I don't want to imagine that. I do not want to imagine that.
No.
Well, just know that it would be awesome. And, I keep in contact with Ben, and he's doing good things. He'll be back one day. And that's all I know.
Okay. You got more questions, Larry? So I got some more.
No, keep on firing away.
Okay. So just let me know if we get a call or anything.
I do believe we have Jamin Olvensi on the line holding.
Well, bring him
on.
Boy. Bring him on?
Okay, let's see.
Sure, go ahead.
Jamin, is that you?
Jamin's very quiet today.
It is his phone number, but he is not there.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, folks, for the technical problems today. You know, I blame this all on Ali's cat. But let me ask you this, really.
That's not fair. And can I make one request? How long have we been on the air so far?
About
50 minutes.
50 minutes.
15 minutes? Okay.
50.
Just making sure. Oh, 50. 50.
50.
Okay. Just wondering. My cat has nothing to
blame. Try again
to
here.
Blame.
Jamin Olvensi, is that you?
Yes, sir. How you guys doing today?
All right.
Hey, Jamin.
What's up?
Good to hear from you, man. Not
hey,
much,
what's
man.
Going
we've
on?
We've been having a little technical problem today, but I'm glad we finally got through to you. We have Rudy Switchblade on the line, Muhammad Ali Vaez. So,
fantastic.
Rudy had a few choice words for you, but he called you a good competitor. But he also, you know, give us your memories of your feud with Rudy Switchblade real quick, because he gave his on you. So.
Sure, yeah. I made Rudy look stupid. there was a point where people, I guess you could say basically this whole thing stems from jealousy. Jealousy of who? Well, me, Jamin Olvensi. And, I guess he couldn't handle the fact that I was just the more popular kid in school while he wasn't getting anything in return. And even when he tried to get popular, it still didn't work because, once again, I was still just a step ahead of Rudy. How's that for a summary?
Very good. Very good.
May I reiterate? You want to say that you made me look stupid. How's your neck feeling, by the way?
Ooh.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, you're the one who almost had their neck snapped and had to be taken out on a stretcher. And as far as stupid, I am OVW heavyweight champion, and you're not. So who's stupid now?
Well, that's fine, Rudy. That's fine. You know, we can, I guess we can go back and forth with words, but I'd rather do it physically. So, you know what? I think I'm looking at my watch right now, and I see in the future, or let me open up my third eye, or let me be a little psychic for you a little bit. What I see in the future is that I'm coming back very soon, and I'm just going to say right now on the air, I'm coming for you, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. So how's that sound?
Well, he just said, Jamie, that he did not have a challenger for his title, so I believe you'd be game to win that title.
Well, let's get one thing straight. Jamie Olivencia has already challenged me for the title, so if he wants another shot at it, I think he's going to have to work his way up from the bottom just like everyone else.
Yeah, okay,
that,
Rudy. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that.
And, Jamie, as far as somebody being stupid, if my memory is correct, when you guys had an I Quit match, Rudy here quit instead of getting whipped with a belt, and then he got whipped anyway. So
yeah, so who's the idiot now?
So that's not stupid. That's cowardly on his part to attack me after the match. I'll let you know. So not only is he stupid, he's a coward too.
Listen to this hypocrite. Are you kidding me? Listen to him. Listen to every word he's saying right now, every single lie that he's throwing at you. Are you just, you're just bitching about, oh, excuse me, did I swear on the air? Do I care? Absolutely not. Why? Because I'm Jamin Olivencia. But listen, you're complaining about me attacking you after the match was over. And you know what, Rudy? I'm going to give it to you. It was pretty clever of you to quit right before you got whipped. But you know, here you are being a hypocrite, and you're discussing how I, you know, beat you up after the match when after I almost beat you, you had to beat me up and take me out. And guess what? You talk about my neck hurting and my neck being sore and injured. Well, here I am still talking right now, and I'm doing just fine.
Are you
fine.
Sitting in a wheelchair when you talk?
No. He's not in a wheelchair because I saw Mr. Olivencia in a fantastic play called
That's
the
right.
Elaborate Entrance of Chad Beatty, which ran
right.
all through January through February 4th at Actors Playhouse in Louisville. And, Jamin, that play was fantastic. Tell us a little bit about that run with that play here.
You know, honestly, let me just say something right now about that whole play from the actors to the apprentices to the stage management. I love each and every one of you guys. I miss you guys, and you guys are my family. Christopher Diaz is a freaking scientist. He's a genius. He wrote an amazing play. KJ Sanchez is an amazing director, and I think we just had a lot of talent on this show. I think everyone was on a whole nother level. You know, when I met these guys, from the actors to the apprentices, to the director, and I haven't had a chance to meet Christopher Diaz, unfortunately. However, his writing, I think, speaks for itself. And these people are just on a whole nother level, and they're really great.
Hey, Ali or Rudy, did you see the play?
I did. I attended the play with a man known as Mike Mondo, and we were thoroughly impressed as well. This is Ali, by the way. We were thoroughly impressed with Jamin Olivencia's performance in the play, and it looked like he was a lot more successful in those endeavors than he was against Rudy Switchblade and trying to take his title. So nowadays, when we know that the sheriff of justice, known as Christian Mascagni, is in charge, I don't think Mr. Olivencia will be doing any kind of terroristic threatening of his own. And if he does want to come and maybe toss some smack to Rudy Switchblade, maybe he can stop by the concession stand and high-five Michael Hayes and buy a Tootsie Pop from that loser. But yeah, he did a great job in the play. Jamin did a great job in the play.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this, like, Ali, for you guys in the business, because sitting there as a fan, I was just amazed at how stunningly accurate, you know, the writing of a play was to the way the wrestling business behind the scenes. Did you as a wrestler think, my God, they nailed it? Because that's what I thought.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was very well done. It was very well done. I wish the super kicks would have looked a little better. But, you know, other than that, I can't complain.
Well, I was going to ask Jamin, how many power bombs did you take in a month?
Oh, geez. Well, it was. I did the show eight days a week. So I mean, you know, we twice on Saturdays and Sundays. You know, so I don't know. Do the math, but to be honest with you, I didn't even want to count because you know I felt like if I did that and put focus on that, I might actually be hurt right now, and I might be really having neck problems, Rudy.
Yeah, it was almost like you were wrestling full time, but not even. Working as a wrestler, you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Wow. It's almost like you were, you know, getting more action wrestling full-time there than you would as a full-time wrestler, you know what I mean? So you're doing it every single day.
Dude, I mean, I don't have any, I have so many good things to say about this play. This play is phenomenal. You know, yeah, doing the wrestling thing full-time, even just the acting part, everything. I've learned so much from these guys. I've learned so much from everyone. The camaraderie was there. The brotherhood was there. And I think when you have everyone that's on the same team and that's looking to make it a success, it's just going to be a success. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And everyone did a great job. And I'm looking forward to maybe doing the play again here in Washington D.C. We'll see if I'm not with a major company by then. Or if I'm not OVW heavyweight champion beating Rudy Switchblade's ass, I might go ahead and do that again because that's how in love I fell with this play. So,
well, I was gonna say, where should we look for you to pop up in wrestling, Jamin? You mentioned OVW soon, but do you have a direct plan right now, or are you just
right now. There's a lot of good news for me. You know, I have all major companies looking at me right now, and it's basically just let's see where I want to go. Let's see what direction I need to go in. OVW, I will be back very soon there. My focus right now is mainly just doing just being me, being the fucking man. Jamin Olivencia. and you know, no one's going to do anything about it, and they're going to eat it, and they're going to like it.
That's code word for
being
loud and obnoxious.
Ooh. I'm sorry?
So that's code for being loud and obnoxious.
Yeah, it is loud and obnoxious, and you know what? People like it, obviously, because every time I walk out through that curtain, people cheer me, Rudy. So how does that sound? How's that for how's that for Mr. Popular?
Well, maybe I should come out, too, and spin in a circle and bark like a dog, and then we can compete. Then we'll see.
Yeah, maybe you can do that and do what all the little kids are doing, and you could be a fan of Jamin Olivencia, because from the sounds of it, from you going ahead and talking and discussing about what I do and all the things Jamin Olivencia is, you probably want to do it yourself deep down inside. But here's the truth, Rudy, and this one's going to hurt, okay? So get ready for it. You'll never be me, and you can't be me. And for that record, everyone out there will never be me. And, so how's that for some good food? Or do we call it shit in our world?
It's reassuring to know that I will never be you. That's good. And, yeah, you know, I do watch you, because I was forced to watch you while I stood in the ring and watched you enter it for months on end, knowing that I was going to walk out with you on the floor. So I didn't see you barking like a dog when you were staring up at the ring lights.
Well, it looks like, better yet, it sounds like it's not going to be a good situation when I step foot into the Davis Arena next time.
I was gonna say, Rudy. I mean, Rudy, you're a great wrestler, but man, I'm gonna say when Jamin comes back, maybe you ought to take a trip to California, something about that time. I don't know. So,
Well, if he wants to get in the ring with me, he needs to talk with OVW's head man, Christian Mascagni. I don't sign on to matches blindly. I make smart business choices. That's why Mascagni's in my corner. So, if he wants a match, I have to discuss it with my lawyer. And if he thinks it's a wise opportunity, then yes, I'll take it. But I'm not gonna make any false claims on the show and not being able to back him up like Jamin Olivencia.
And we'd also be remiss, Jamin, if we didn't mention that you were voted the TW Insider 2011 Newcomer of the Year. Congratulations for that.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's I was very surprised because I don't really call you a newcomer, but I guess maybe people saw you on the AWE pay-per-view for the first time. I don't know how that happened.
Well,
but, you know,
it's all about being recognized. Now it's time to get recognized. You know, I do believe I am a superstar on the rise, and no one can take that away from me or that thought. And I think people are just starting to recognize it. So I think timing is just perfect right now for me. And like I said, you're going to be seeing a lot of big things out of me. So it's just let's let this ball continue rolling. And everyone jump on the bandwagon now, because sooner or later it's going to get a little too full and you might have to start buying tickets.
Well, I got a question for Ali and Rudy. And Jamie, if you want to chime in, go ahead. What are your thoughts on former Muskegee family member Marcus Anthony being signed by the WWE and also lost the Loser Leaves Town match to Johnny Spade in OVW? Ali, what do you think of Marcus Anthony being signed by WWE?
You know, good for Marcus. He's got an incredible look. Obviously, the guy's like 5'10", 5'11", 260 pounds of muscle. So, I mean, he definitely stands out. He's a genetic freak. And I wish him all the best in the world. As far as losing that match to Johnny Spade, that was a travesty. Number one, because I hate to see Marcus go in that fashion. And more importantly, I hate to see a guy like Johnny Spade try to use that opportunity to, further irritate Christian Mascagni. At the end of the day, it's all about what Christian Mascagni feels. So, you know, Christian Mascagni gave the best thing that I'm happy.
Well, Larry, let me ask you, is it too much Mascagni on the show? I think it's too much Mascagni. What do you say, Larry?
There was one episode, I want to say two weeks ago, was that 650? That was, it was overkill. It was too much. He was in almost every scene.
Sometimes justice has a heavy hand. You just got to have to live with it and deal with it.
And what the hell is a talent arbiter anyway? What is a talent arbiter?
Yeah, what is a talent arbitrator? What the hell is that?
Look, I'm going to tell you the reality of the situation, and that is Trevor Park Trash wasn't getting it done. He was spending all his time at O'Charlie's happy hour instead of running the locker room and making sure there wasn't chaos going on. Christian Mascagni stood up and did what he had to do to get control of the situation, and the situation is now under control. So whether you guys like it or not, tough, it had to be done. And I, for one, admire the man for doing it.
I don't know about you, Ollie, but I'm not complaining. Are you?
I'm not. I'm doing good.
I kind of like how things are going right now.
And I don't have to work, so, you know, tough for you guys. Deal with it.
And Larry, it also appears that right now Johnny Spade is on the biggest role as a babyface in the company. And Rudy, Johnny Spade pinned you in the elimination match at Saturday Night Special. You know, it wasn't the final, but and he also pinned you, Ollie, in the finals. Any chance that Mr. Spade is the tag team champion right now, but Rudy, are you looking at Johnny Spade as a possible challenger for your title?
Well, he got a fluke victory over us, and if it wasn't for Michael Hayes,
he pinned you.
Yes, but look at the situation. Michael Hayes
okay.
is out wiping down yeah. ropes and scrubbing down poles at the most opportune time.
Yes,
you know, we were distracted.
So?
If the situation was different, if take away all distraction, take away the Michael Hayes and the Jamin Oliventias and the Jason Waynes and leave it as an even playing field, I think that the outcome would have been different.
Much different, Trent. Much different. You know, you want to sit here and talk about this and paint a picture, and it's completely accurate. It all depends on the situation. And the situation, just like Rudy said, was that Michael Hayes got in his business and my business. And that's the only reason Johnny Spade was successful at the last Saturday Night Special. The only reason. So I guess lightning does strike twice.
Yeah, is that the reason Jason Wayne beat you too?
Jason Wayne? Look, I left Jason Wayne on his ass at the Saturday Night Special.
No, I'm talking about the TV. I'm talking about at TV. Pinned you 1-2-3 on television for all
it would have been the same outcome at television. Jason Wayne went on the mat, but instead Michael Hayes decides to get involved. This guy he is literally I don't know what the deal is, man. I don't know what the deal is. he is just coming after me constantly. I don't know if it's post-traumatic stress disorder, and he thinks I resemble, you know, people from the Middle East, and he just wants to hurt me. I don't know what his deal is, man. He won't leave me alone. And at this point, I'm the victim.
And he's so clumsy with the condiments, too.
Yeah.
He is very clumsy with condiments.
Are you kidding me? You know, if I had known that he was going to be so clumsy, I would have let Jesse finish his posing routine.
If nothing else, you could have been wearing a Beyond Clothing t-shirt or something, you know.
I would have done that t-shirt a favor.
We've also seen Rob Terry join up with the Muskegee family coming in from TNA. Rudy, what are your thoughts on Mr. Rob Terry?
The smartest business choice of his life. You know, he could have come in, but he went straight for Christian Muskegee and joined the family. And look at him now. Look at him now. He wouldn't be where he is today if he had not joined the family.
And I've got to say, too, if you look at the Muskegee family compared to Bowling Services 2.0, at this point, it's like comparing ice cream to horse manure. You got Ali, you got Rudy, you got Rob Terry, you know, you got all these good wrestlers. Bowling Services, they got Joel Coleman, Jack Black. I mean, I like Moose and Mickey. I mean, these stables are not even. Would you guys agree?
Well, Joe Coleman's lats are pretty wide, but other than that, yeah, I think the comparisons end there.
You guys just seem to be so much stronger, you know, and I don't know, this Muskegee family, somebody's got to step up. I just hope Jamin can come in. Somebody's got to step up and knock you guys off your perch, you know, so I don't know.
Nobody's going to knock us off this perch. Nobody. Period.
Well,
I have to say, Trent, during your time watching OVW, I don't think I have. Have you ever seen such a dominant group as what Muskegee has put together right now?
But they're being threatened by a one-legged man, and they're also threatened by ideals. Let's talk about this last TV taping, Larry. Jesse Goddard goes into business for himself and starts posing in the middle of a promo. Ali has to cut him off, you know. I think there are some seeds of dissension within the Muskegee family in certain ways. I mean, I think, you know, it's going to explode at some point.
I know. You guys got to just pick everything apart and try to create an issue among four elite athletes who are working together for the greater good of cleaning up this filthy locker room and returning it to ideal standards. You guys got to try to create issues. You know, Jesse's a little enthusiastic. Okay, he's got a great body. He wants to show it off. I understand. The idea was okay. The timing wasn't great. He and I talked about it. There's no beef there. You're trying to create issues. You try to create an issue between Rudy and myself twice already on this program. And both times we rose above the occasion and above the pettiness.
Ali, I must admire your ability to spin things. That was pretty masterful.
Yeah, not only that, Ali. One of your promos, Ali, you said that you were glad to be a group that had talent almost as similar as yourself. That right there was a shot at those guys.
It's not a shot at those guys, Trent. It's my opinion. Look, I am a fan of myself. I don't know if that's a news flash or what, but I know what I'm capable of. These guys are great. Rudy Switchblade has traveled the world. He is the OVW heavyweight champion. You insulted him earlier saying that it's an uneventful title reign. And I say it is an eventful title reign because he's held it for over 100 days, and he's the one cashing champion paychecks right now. So despite you trying to diminish his accomplishments, he's still the man. Now, do I think that he may be on my level in certain aspects? Yes. But in certain aspects, I think I'm the better competitor than Rudy Switchblade. After all, he works for me, not the other way around. But you're the one so hot trying to create an issue between us. You're also pointing out this minor misunderstanding with Jesse, possibly trying to create a rift between he and I, you know? And don't even try it with Rob Terry, because me and Rob Terry are tight. Rob Terry puts me on his shoulders and does lunges to warm up before he does matches. You're not going to break out, Bond. Don't even think about it. Christian Miscagny is the greatest thing that ever happened.
Well, I know I'm jumping around here, Rudy. Let me ask you this, because I meant to ask you before, but the beginning of your title reign, November 2nd, 2011, the eight-man melee, which turned out to be a great match, you know, what are your memories of that match and winning that title? Of course, the finish was Mike Mondo got up on the top rope, was going to finish off Nick Dinsmore. Muscadia got up and caused Mondo to trip and be crotched, and you took advantage of the situation. You saw the opportunity. You capitalized on with a frog splash and won the title. What a match that was. That was great.
What are my thoughts on it? Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's been so long, you know, 100 days.
I know.
I just remember that I was the odd man out in that match. There were, what, four former world, former heavyweight champions, the current tag champions, former tag champions, and then me. And, you know, going into that, I just picked my moments. While everyone else wanted to rush in there and show what they've got, I just pick and chose my spots, and it happened to work out for me in my favor. Christian Miscagny tripping Mondo is debatable. I think that was just an accident that led into something more. I think Mondo just got a little hot-headed and jumped the gun, and that didn't work out for him either, because look where he's at now.
Hmm. Yeah, he signed the Ring of Honor.
They say clumsy.
He's a bit clumsy.
Well, let me ask you this, Larry. Do you find it interesting, like right now in Ohio Valley Wrestling, that none of the titles have a sustained challenger to them? If you look at it, Rude doesn't have a sustained challenger. OMG really doesn't have a sustained challenger to tag titles. Taylor Hendricks doesn't have a challenger to her title, really. And Chris Silvio, who's doing a really good job as TV champion, but no real sustained challenger to any title OVW. What do you think, Larry?
I think it's a good point, but in due time, this will change. I don't think it's going to be very long down the road.
Yeah, you're probably right. You know, but I did want to mention Silvio because I'm really enjoying his reign as TV champion. What do you think of Silvio Larry right now?
Yeah,
I'm
finding it very, very entertaining. And now, like, where do you get this hula hoop girl?
I don't know. Terrence A. disappeared. The hula hoop girl appeared. I don't know. Yeah, it's Silvio O'Clock. What can I tell you? This world we're only living in. And, Rudy, let me ask you this. I know I'm jumping around here, but I had a couple things I wrote down. There was a wrestler last year at the Mondo Wrestling A-Go-Go shows called La Cucarocha, a masked gentleman. What can you tell me about that guy?
You know, I don't know him personally, but I've heard a lot of good things about him. You know,
yes.
He puts on one hell of a show. And, Michael Hayes wants to brag about being a one-legged wrestler, but there's never been a six-armed wrestler like La Cucaracha. So I think, if anything, that's history in the making right there. And I wish that guy nothing but the best. I hope something really comes works out for that guy.
It was great. And then, Larry, his mask is brown, but then when he gets angry towards the end of the match, he rips it off and he's got a red mask. He's hot. He's angry at the end of the match. So it's fantastic. I don't know. If you and that guy, you mentioned you like taking. If you and that guy would team up, Rudy, you guys would be just fantastic. Your team is just. I don't know. It'd be great. But, and Rudy, they've also mentioned you mentioned as a world traveler, but I've also heard you mentioned as having every single nationality in the world in your blood. I mean, what is your family tree exactly? I'm curious.
Mama was a Rolling Stone. I don't know. I guess. it's unclear what my true nationality is. You know, I'm a little bit of everything. Got a little bit of little Hispanic blood. Got a little bit of Caucasian and a little bit of everything else. I don't know. You know, a little bit of everything. I mean, Epiphany's my cousin. I mean, you know.
Yes.
How'd that work out?
How did that work out?
I just just one day at a family get together, family reunion. She just happened to walk up, and then we, you know, it just hit us. Holy crap, cousins! And it just happened to work out that I needed somebody just to be in my corner to wrestle Paradise and his manservant, CJ Lane, and I didn't have any female wrestlers. And then lo and behold, my cousin Epiphany came to my aid.
Cousin Epiphany Jones, I found that very interesting. And I looked at you and thought, what nationality is that guy? And I'm like, he is every nationality. It's amazing. So, have you guys watched any of the Ring to King promotion, and what do you think of it, if so?
I think Dr. Densmore is amazing. And I know where I would go to get my prostate exam.
Oh, my God. I hope he wears gloves.
But other than that, I've only watched a little bit of it. I'm not very familiar with it at this time.
I don't know. Like, right now they're not taping. I don't know if Dinsmore and Savio Vega or if they're still training those guys. But, like, in my mind, like, I think they should send those really, really super green Indian wrestlers over here to OVW and, you know, let them train and let them – be in front of an audience 3 days a week. What do you guys think?
Would they seem like a natural indie wrestlers?
Exactly. Indian wrestlers, yes. Indie wrestlers, yes. Because those guys need... What's that, Ali?
I said, I'm sure if it's good for business, Christian Mascagni will arrange for it to happen. So I'm not too worried about it.
I guess the last thing I'm going to cover here is, speaking of family stuff, Ted McNaylor and Adam Revolver. These guys. Mom is very upset. These guys continue to fight. They go at it. Revolver knocked Whitney Devere out of a chair. McNaylor beat Revolver with one arm tied behind him. Where does this end? I mean, Larry, I mean, is OVW big enough for both these guys? Does somebody actually have to leave to settle this? What do you think?
They sure don't look like brothers to me.
No. I'm just wondering if we're going to meet Mom. I would love to meet Mom.
Yeah, I saw you wrote that. That would be very interesting. Definitely would like to meet Mom.
Hmm. Well,
Adam Revolver in this one. I think Ted McNaylor is just way over the line here. He's always been way over the line. Adam Revolver is the kind of guy who doesn't get a fair shake. And, he's another guy who's been victimized by the OVW machine. And I think if he knew it was best for him, he'd talk to Christian Mascagni, too. But, yeah, Ted McNaylor, he's where I want. I've heard nothing but bad things happen to him there.
Wow. Well, McNaylor's already had a shot at you, Rudy, so he could get another shot, I guess, if possible. So.
Who, Ted McNaylor?
Yeah.
If he can get past Adam Revolver, then maybe I'll consider it. But that's highly unlikely.
Well, he's more worried about one arm tied behind him. What more do you got to do?
Beat him with both arms tied behind his back. Then maybe I'll consider it.
Trent, I have to side with Rudy on this one, though. Even if McNaylor gets by Revolver, I don't think he stands a chance with Rudy.
That's right.
Well, I mean, McNaylor's a pretty sound wrestler. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's somewhat even, don't you?
No.
No. Okay. Well,
no.
Fair enough. Well, well, we're getting ready to wind down here, guys. It's been a great show and a lot of fun. And I just want to ask Ali before we go, Ali, you just seem so directionless right now. Where are you heading in OVW? You don't seem to have any plan, rather, you know, Michael Hayes is in your face at all times.
Look, Trent, I have plenty of plans. I got a lot of, irons in the proverbial fire. So don't worry about that. Yeah, I'm not gonna reveal my hand, Trent, to you and your listeners, just so you can get the scoop, which is what you guys are always. I'm not going to reveal it. Just know that I'm content, okay? I'm a rich man. I don't have to be anywhere. I don't have to do anything, okay? So I am plotting my time. Unfortunately, the reoccurring issue in my life seems to be this psychotic maniac known as Michael Hayes. And I guarantee you this situation will be addressed. This situation will come to an end. Because, like I said before, I'm a rising star. I've got a lot of things going on, and I'm not going to let this guy hold me down anymore. He's like the anchor to my, you know, he's the anchor to my rising star. You know, what can I say? I've got to shake him off, and I will. I'm confident in myself and in Christian Mascagni's ability to maintain order, because guys like Trailer Park Trash have proven that they're not up to the task, that they're biased. And he's nothing but a crony for Danny Davis. And Danny Davis has been the same way. He's worked me like a pack mule for years. You know, I can't reiterate how glad I am that there's a new sheriff in town. And finally, somebody's going to keep Trailer Park Trash's ego in check.
Something's got to give with this Muskegon and Trailer Park Trash. This cannot go on like this for another month. This cannot go on like this. This is not working.
Maybe
working.
Trailer Park Trash can give up his power to Christian Mascagni and problem solved. How's that sound?
That sounds awful. That sounds terrible.
Maybe for you, but I think it sounds awesome for me.
although I don't know. I hope that doesn't happen. Although it didn't work out for Sean Casey and Constantine this past week at TV. So, you know, Mascagni's not, you know, it's not foolproof. Yes, it's the deck stacked against you, but as I wrote, it could be a house of cards. But let me ask
you, what you don't understand is there's a pecking order at OVW. The family comes first, and everyone else falls in place. So maybe it didn't work out for Constantine and Casey, but that's not what we're really focused on here. We're focused on ourselves and making sure that we rise to the top and stay at the top like we are doing right now.
Well, the focus was there because Mascagni wanted to get rid of Johnny Spade, and that failed from that respect, you know. So let me ask you this. I'm going to be going to Ring of Honor this coming Friday, the 17th, in Cincinnati with two hot women. Do you guys know if there'll be any Ohio Valley wrestling influence on that particular show? Anybody working undercards that you know about? Or?
I will be there. I will be at the Cincinnati show. I'm not sure of what I will be doing there, but I am going to be there.
Great.
As far as working.
Excellent.
Yeah. Great. Looking forward to it. Well, Larry, you got anything else before we wrap up here?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Rudy, you got anything you want to plug?
Yeah. Ring of Honor in Cincinnati on Friday. I'll be there in some capacity, wrestling capacity.
Great. You got any Facebook or Twitter or website you want to
get? Oh, yeah, Rudy Switchblade at Twitter, and same for Facebook. Join the family.
I don't want to join that family. That family is, you guys think you want to plug, Ali?
Yeah, of course. I'd like to plug the Ohio Valley Wrestling Television tapings, 4400 Shepherdsville Road. On Wednesdays, bell times at 7:15, come see what Christian Mascagni has built as far as an empire based on justice is concerned. Thank you.
I did want to mention that now, if you cannot come live, the TV show is available on Thursdays online. They tape on Wednesday and have the show up online on Thursday. That's about the fastest turnaround you can get. So, yeah. Is anybody else?
The audience is Christian Mascagni and making his influence felt. You guys should learn to appreciate this, really. Let's go off the air with a positive comment. Let's go off the air with positivity, guys. Come on. On three.
He's an acquired taste, I guess, Ali. He must be an acquired taste.
Something positive about Mascagni? Is that what you want me to say?
Yes. Let's talk about how he's in Richard.
Okay. I got something positive to say. He doesn't sweat much for a slimy lawyer.
Trent, you'll never get it. You'll never get it.
I'll just be glad today when he's out of power. I don't mind him being there as a manager, but this power thing, oh, Lord. And I want to meet the OVW board of directors. So I want to punch them all in the mouth. So. But if I got to plug in real quick, if anybody hasn't listened to it, check out our episode from last month in January when I mentioned earlier, Mr. Dave Meltzer was on for over 50 minutes. So if you haven't listened to that, check that out. It was a good show, as this has been a good show. And Ali and Larry, it looks like our next show will be on March the 11th. Is that agreeable with you gentlemen?
I agree with that.
Works for me.
And our guest that day, Larry, will be wrestling journalist, internet radio whore, Michael P. Sempervivi. Larry is going to watch some OVW and call in and give his thoughts on the current product.
That should be very interesting.
Yeah, so Ali, you'll enjoy that too. He's a good guy. So he's going to watch some of the shows, at least one of the shows, and call in with his thoughts. So that'll be a plan for March. And are you still there? Is Jamin still there?
No, Jamin's off.
Okay, good deal. Well, thanks, Jamin, for joining us. And again, levered interest of Chad Beatty, if that play ever comes to your town, go see it. It's fantastic. And for Rudy Switchblade, for Muhammad Ali Baez, for Larry Goodman, I am Trent Van Dries saying, check out some OVW action, either live or online or on DVD, and we will see you again March 11th. Goodbye, everybody.
listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.